Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. And as Deborah said, we thank you for air. Hallelujah. We thank you for cool air, Father God. And that is a blessing from you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for bringing us here this evening, Father God, and the ones that's watching via social media, Lord. We just thank you. I just plead the blood of Jesus over everyone here, every family that's represented here and on social media. I plead the blood of Jesus, a hedge of protection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. The weapon may be formed, but it will not, it shall not prosper. Glory to you, Father God, and thank you for that. Father God, and I just thank you. And Father, as far as tonight's service, I bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against this service and your people tonight, Father God. And I loose your peace, Father. Hallelujah. I just loose your protection around us right now, Father God. And we just thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And Father God, use me. Hallelujah. I am an empty vessel. Fill me up, Father God, so I can speak what you want me to say, Father. And I just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. The last song that Patty sung, from you are all things, and to you are all things. All things. You deserve the glory. And that was just so perfect. With the message, you know, here that God is our source, it was just so perfect. Because from him is all things and to him is all things. And he does deserve the glory. And as Deborah indicated, that is the title of the message. God is our source. He's my source. He's your source. And we just have to make sure we understand that. And I'm going to dig a little bit deep into that. And the message today is based on this book by Mike Murdock, Creating Tomorrow Through Seed Faith. An awesome book. My message tonight only is based on chapter one, because I read chapter one about 4 or 5 times, and this is all of chapter one. Chapter one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. That's chapter one. So, and I, like I said, I read that quite a few times, and each time I read it, something else just jumped out at me. So praise God just for his love, for his revelation that he gave to us. All right, the first scripture I'm going to bring out is James 1:17 in the New Living Translation. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. You know, as you move, your shadow moves. God doesn't have a shadow like that, that just shifts. He doesn't do that. We do as humans, but God doesn't. He don't shift. He ain't shady. He's not shady. Glory to God. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us, from God our Father. Psalm 75:6-7. This is the God's Word translation. The authority to reward someone does not come from the east or the west or even from the wilderness. God alone is the judge. He punishes one and rewards another. You know, and when I read that, I thought about Saul and David. Because he did appoint Saul. He did. Saul was appointed and anointed by God. He was appointed and anointed. You can appoint yourself, but you may not be anointed for it. But Saul was appointed and anointed by God. He just lost his way. He got his focus off God and his focus on himself. He lost his focus. So I think about that. And then David was appointed and anointed for that. So he in the word says punishes, and this is the Old Testament, you know, but Saul was removed from that position and David took over. And in Mike Murdock's book that I mentioned before, Creating Tomorrow Through Seed Faith, He stated in his book, and this was, and I had to read this a few times. I was telling Jesse yesterday, I had to read this a few times so it took a hold of me. If God is holding your seed, today is the poorest you will ever be. If God is holding your seed, today is the poorest you will ever be. Truly, just think about that. If we allow God to direct us, if we follow his word, if we put our seed in his hands and we trust him, today is the poorest we will ever be. You think you're good right now? You think you're good right now? We think we're good right now? If we just wholeheartedly put that seed in God's hands. You know the Allstate commercial, you in good hands with Allstate? They ain't got nothing on God. They ain't got nothing on God. That ain't proper English, but it's right for now. They ain't got nothing on our God. Nothing. We're in good hands with him. Glory to God. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. If we trust his process, he has a process. The seeds we place in his hands may not always return in money form, a financial way. And we look for things at times to come back in a financial way. But what else are you believing God for? What else do you have and stand in need of? Because it can return in so many various ways. Family members saved when you sow a seed. This is beyond the tithes, y'all. I'm talking about seeds. Your offerings, your seeds. Your family members can be saved. You believe in God for a new home, you can get you a new home. You believe in God for a promotion, you can get a promotion. Healing, find something on sale. Looking for a spouse. Just saying. A seed. It may not always return in money form, but it will return in what we need. God knows our heart. And this is just a few ways the seeds can return to us. Is think about seeds that you have sown and how they return to you in various forms other than money. Other than money. Not saying that God can't do it, because he does. He does return seeds and money. But there's so many other ways he does it as well. That's it doesn't matter how small or whatever. It was God. That's how our God works. Also in Mike Murdoch's book, he mentioned no one is more misunderstood than God. Think about it. No one is more misunderstood than God. Some people believe that God is just sitting on a cloud somewhere, not really knowing what's going on and not caring. You know, he's just whatever, just la, la, la. You know, and Mike Murdoch said in his book, he said, some people think he's just his spiritual force or the man upstairs. And we've heard that analogy so many times. Don't let the man upstairs get mad at you. Oh, the man upstairs, God ain't no man. He is not a man. I understand what they're saying, but we have to be careful what we say. He is not a man, because if he was like us, he'll lie and he can change. He'll cast a shadow. He's not a man. But in his word, it says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So he's not the man upstairs. He's God. He's God our Father. And some believe God is just sitting on the throne looking for ways to punish us, looking for ways to cause bad things to happen to us. You know, and what baffles me and just irks me so much is when a child passes away. Oh, God just needed another flower in the garden. That is a lie from the pits of hell. The enemy stole the child. Let's call it what it is. The enemy stole the child. God did not want another flower in his garden. We have no idea what his garden looked like up there. We've seen some beautiful gardens here, like at Callaway Gardens. They have beautiful flowers and the butterflies are beautiful. That ain't got nothing on God's garden. So why would God allow, or cause, I should say, why would God cause a baby to die, to transition, to have another flower in his garden? That's a lie from the pits of hell. Okay, back to the message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he's not looking for ways to punish us. God has made ways for us to get out of trouble. He's made a way of escape by sending Jesus. When we put ourselves in situations that we know that we shouldn't be in, when we have ignored the small, still voice telling us, don't go there. Don't buy that right now. But we do it anyway. He still finds a way to get us out of our own messes that we've created. That's the God that we serve. Not a God who's sitting up on the throne in his big gold chair. He may have a gold chair now, not saying that. But he's sitting up there on the throne in his big gold chair with his staff looking for, I'm finna punish Jesse because he didn't buy Wonder what she wanted. I'm just saying. I may have prayed that a time or two, but but he's not doing that. That is not our God. That's not what he's doing. The word says in Hebrews 4:15, Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Jesus gets it. Another version says he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He gets it. And some people might say, he didn't have to deal with the social media stuff. It was something he had to deal with, people. People behind social media. He dealt with people. He didn't have to. Yes, he did. It may not have been in the form that we may deal with stuff in today's world, but he dealt with it. He dealt with it. And he took on all of our sins before any of us was even thought about. He took that on Calvary. God couldn't even look at his son because he was sin. He turned his back. That's why Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because he took on sin, and God can't look at sin. He took on sin. He was ugly at that moment. He took on all that sin. And that's why he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned his back on him. But he turned his face toward us at that moment. He turned his back on Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, but he turned his face toward us, looking in the future towards us. Because he know this one clean lamb right here who was sinless, who took all the sin of everybody coming, could cover his innocent, pure blood, could cover a multitude of sins. So he turned his back on him for us. And you say God is just sitting there for us, looking for to do something bad to us and punish us when he did all of that for us? No, don't believe the lies. And we must boldly go to the throne of God, as it states in Hebrews 4:16. When we know that we have done our part, we can go boldly to the throne. And I was telling Jesse this, as I was typing that out, the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, just a small, still voice. And I quote, the Holy Spirit said, even if you have not done your part, because of the grace and the mercy of God, you can come boldly to the throne asking for forgiveness, and God will show you favor.
That's good.
I'm not giving us leeway not to do our part. We should do our part. But when we fall short, we can still go boldly to that throne of grace. asking our Father for forgiveness and asking him to show us what we need to do, what we need to correct. He will dust us off. He'll pick us up and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go if we allow him. If we allow him. Glory to God. Hebrews 4:16 in the NIV, and I did a few translations of this one. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can go boldly to the throne, but the enemy has polluted our minds to think just because we did something wrong that we can't go to God boldly, but we can. He said to do to help us in our time of need. That's a time of need. The New Heart English Bible states, let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace for help in a time of need. Good News translations. Let us have confidence, then approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. So you got to have that confidence that when you go to the throne of God, that you're going to receive what you need, even if you may not see it right then or feel it right then. You got to have that confidence that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Young's literal translation says, we may come near then with freedom to the throne of grace, that we may receive kindness and find grace for seasonable help. For seasonable help. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in Mike Murdock's book, this statement, y'all, it's glory. He says, obviously, you must have the sensitivity to know when you need him, the humility to pursue his mercy, and the desperation to come boldly to him. Sensitivity, humility, and desperation. Glory. Some of us Christians are too proud to admit when we need help, even to each other, when we need help. But especially to our God. He already knows. He's just waiting for us to say something to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. You know, as pastors was talking about during their message with the Spirit-led prayer, you can be anywhere in your car, anywhere, sitting on the couch, sitting on the back porch, front porch, or whatever. Just have a moment, Lord, I need you. And say it with confidence and boldness. Lord, I need you. Help me. Help me. Sometimes just saying the name of Jesus, if you can't say anything else. I remember my grandmother used to say that all the time. If you don't know what else to say, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Hallelujah. He is waiting on us to come to him with the humility and with the boldness at the same time. Because you can be humble and bold at the same time. Showing humility is not being timid. And people confuses that. They confuse that. That doesn't mean being timid, just being humble and recognizing and reverencing that he is God. You are going to be in the presence of God. So have that humility, but that still that boldness to go to your daddy, to go to your father. Hallelujah. Are we desperate for the things of God? And I remember pastors, I think y'all taught about this a year or so ago, if I'm not mistaken. Are we desperate for the things of God? Are we desperate enough to fall on our knees at the throne and wave the white flag of surrender? Are we desperate enough to do that? God loves us. He is our only one true source for everything we need. We just have to seek him. We have to be desperate for God, desperate for the things of God. And as I mentioned, God is our source for everything. He used people and jobs, etc., as a resource or a channel to provide us the money, the favor, the generosity, the promotions, or whatever can be there, or whatever else. He moves on the heart of people. He moves on the heart of people. But he is the source of everything. And as I was writing out everything, I looked up the definition, and it was the Holy Spirit, to look up the definition of source. Webster describes source as a place, person, or thing from which something comes or can be obtained. It is the place of origin, the starting point, the beginning, the author, creator, originator. God is all those things. And some of those words are even mentioned in the Bible, in different versions of the Bible. God is a source. Definition of resource. It's a stock or supply of money, materials, staff, and other assets that can be drawn on by a person or an action or strategy which may be adopted in adverse. So, in adverse circumstances, it is assets, funds, people, reservoir, stockpile, methods, agency, device, tool. Resource is not an origin. That was not mentioned in the definition. It wasn't mentioned as source. Source states the origin, the starting point, the beginning, the author, the creator, the originator. Resource is an asset, the funds, the people, the reservoir, the stockpile, method, agency, device, tool. So resources are tools that God used for us. So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. The job is not your source. The job is a resource. It's a tool. God is the source. He is the originator. He is the starting point. The job is a tool. It's a device. It's a method. Uh-huh. It's not the source, the starting point, which is God. We get it twisted. We rely on that job instead of relying on God. So when that job goes away, you lose it. But if your focus was on him, the source, and not the resource, yes. Would it be painful? Absolutely. Jess and I've been there, done that twice. But God, he's our source. Our focus was on him and not on that job, because number one, we looked at the job as a seed sown.
That's right.
It was a seed sown. And we are reaping the harvest of that seed.
Amen.
Glory to God. So don't get it twisted. Don't get the source and the resource twisted. Don't get it twisted. God is a jealous God. That's what the word says. Don't get your source and your resource twisted.
That's right.
We should look to the hills, which cometh our help, as it states in Psalms 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We should not lift our eyes to our jobs, family, bank, etc. They are not the starting point. They are not the source. They are resources. This is, you know, going back to some of the messages that pastors have been teaching on the Spirit-led prayer. This is where it would help us know how to pray properly according to the Word of God. So our steps would be ordered to the God job, the God home, the God spouse, the God bank. Not saying it may not be a good job, a good bank, a good spouse, but is it a God job, a God spouse, a God home? Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. We will be with the Spirit-led prayer and keeping God as our source and our focus, we will be at the right God place at the right God time.
That's right.
But our focus have to stay on Him, and we got to understand our source is Him and not a job or bank or wherever. It's not. Those are methods. Those are tools, devices that He's using. We have to realize that. You know, and Pastor, he also talked about luck. This is not luck when things happen. It was coincidence. I just happened to be here. Mm-mm, you didn't. Not if your steps are being ordered by God. This is God. We at times give luck the glory instead of God. We are blessed, as Pastor Rock said. We're not lucky, and it's not coincidental. Stop downplaying God. Stop downplaying God moments. Those are God moments. Stop downplaying God moments. It's not luck. If you are a Christian, if you are born again, you are not lucky. You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Your steps are being ordered by God. You are at the right God places at the right God times. You are not lucky. Glory to God. Glory to God. And going back to James 1 and 17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changed or cast a shifting shadow. If it's good, it's God. And Mike Murdoch also mentioned in his book that someone has stated that about 20% of what Jesus talked about involved finances. He cared. He loved us. He cared. You know, and Mike Murdoch also, he outlined 8 reasons that God wants us to prosper in his book. And I'm just going to talk about a few of them that he talked about. And I work smart, not hard, and I used to write them down when I can read them out of the book. Glory, I just wrote down what numbers I want to talk about. Now, God may change that up, but that's what I wrote down. So one of the reasons God wants us to prosper is God wants you to have enough finances to provide everything your loved ones need for their success. 1 Timothy 5 and 8, to back it up. This is the contemporary English version. People who don't take care of their relatives, and especially their own families, have given up their faith. They are worse than someone who doesn't have faith in the Lord. I'm a duck. Okay. Number 2. God wants you to have enough finances to provide an uncommon and wonderful income for your spiritual leaders and pastors. Amen. Glory. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18, to back it up. Contemporary English version. Church leaders who do their job well deserve to be paid twice as much. Especially if they work hard at preaching and teaching. It is just as the scriptures say, don't muzzle an ox when you are using it to grind grain. I like that. I like that. Workers are worth their pay. And I'm going to leave it alone. I should have ducked again. God wants you to have enough finances to return the tithe back to his house that belongs to the work of God. Leviticus 27 and 30. And I read this in the International Children's Bible so we can get a very children's level understanding of it. 1/10 of all crops belongs to the Lord. This includes the crops from fields and the fruit from the trees. That 1/10 belongs to the Lord. Okay, now some smart person gonna say that, well, we don't have crops and we don't have fields and we don't have fruit. Okay, well, you know what? In that day and time, that's what they had, was the crops and the fields and things like that. And some people still do have crops and fields and things like that. You got a job, you get a paycheck. That's your crops, that's your field, that's your fruit that you give 10% about. You give 10% back. Okay, we just cleared that up. Glory to God. God wants us to have enough finances to give good and uncommon gifts to your children and those you love. Hopefully Jessica isn't listening to this, Jesse. To back that up is Matthew 7:11 in the Contemporary English Version. As bad as you are, this is God talking to us. As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Go boldly to the throne and with humility. Glory to God. And let's see here. God wants you to have enough money to solve any emergency problem or crisis that arises. And the back this up would be Ecclesiastes, I can't say that, chapter 10, verse 19. I read this in two versions. The first one is the Contemporary English Version. Eating and drinking make you feel happy, and money can buy you everything. The King James Version says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. God wants us to prosper. He will never withhold any good thing from us. He knows we need money to live on this earth. He knows that. He just wants us to give back to him with a cheerful heart and what he asks, 10%, along with offerings and seeds. He wants us to prosper, y'all. It's okay to prosper. It is okay. Jesus was not poor. When he was born, they brought all kind of oils. Frankincense oil is not cheap. Jesus could not have gotten in some of the places that he did as a human if he didn't have money. Gold, silver, whatever they had, you know, to get in, the oil. Jesus was not poor. He was not poor. And he just went and got somebody's donkey, right? And just somebody else's donkey, and I think the disciples paid somebody. Yeah, he was not poor. God wants us to prosper. It's okay to have money and things. Just don't let money and things have you.
That's right.
Just don't let it have your heart. Don't let it take the place of God in your heart. Don't get so caught up with that. It's okay to have nice things. It's okay to have money. That it is perfectly okay. Just don't let those things have you. You're in control of that. Glory to God. And he also mentioned 10 facts that God wants us to know about money. And I'm just going to talk about a few. And again, I work smart and not hard. The first one is God wants to reveal to you where your financial provisions are located. Ordering our steps, those spirit-led prayers. Reveal it, going to the right job, the God job. You know, starting the right God business. That's where he wants to tell us. He wants us to know. And he proved this with Elijah. He led Elijah. He said, turn thee eastward and hide thyself behind the brook, Cherith, that is before Jordan. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That was 1 Kings 17, verses 3 through 4. He ordered his steps, told them where to go, and the ravens was going to feed him. Glory to God. God is concerned every time you have a financial crisis and will give you instructions to turn it around.
That's right.
Glory to God. Again, he did it for Elijah. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get ye to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Ordering his steps, spirit-led prayers. And he's listening for the voice of God. That small, still voice is telling him where to go, because that's where his provisions are. That's where his protection is. And he was in a crisis. The brook had dried up. The brook dried up. We would have passed out. But he got up and he went where God told him to go. Would we have done that? Like, well, why can't you just bring some water here? I don't want to move nowhere. I like it here. My house is here. My family is here. Why you want me to move, Lord? Just send some rain. Dig a hole. But Elijah got up and went. Just saying. God will give people instructions to help you in financial crisis. Prophet Elijah again, y'all. Arise and get ye to Zarephath, which belong to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. If he did it for Elijah, want to do it for us? That's where our steps have to be ordered. Those God steps, those God moments where someone blesses you. You may not know who it is. You may get an unexpected check in the mail, glory to God, from something you don't even know about. They just, you know, I'm just saying. Somebody could just slip you some money. Unexpected increase at your job. I'm just saying. That's how our God operates. Glory to God. God always rewards holy conduct and behavior with financial provision. Again, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11. Hallelujah. God always promises financial blessings to those obedient to his instructions, laws, and principles. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouse, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in good. The Lord shall open up his good treasure, the heaven to give out the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy land. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2, chapter 8, and verses 8, and then verse 11 through 12. God would teach you to profit through mentors, the Holy Spirit, and his word. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way which thou shouldest go. Isaiah 48:17. He wants us to prosper, y'all. We just must allow God to order our steps. We must trust his process. His word tells us everything we need to know about our finances. We just got to dig into it. We've got to study to show ourselves approved, as it states in 2 Timothy 2:15. Make an effort to present yourself to God as a tried and true worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, but is one who interprets the message of the truth correctly. Everything we need to know about our finances, how to handle our finances, it's in God's word. It is in his word. He put it all in here. This is the great human book on what we need to do, the life book. Amen. To prosper, to function day to day as a human, as a Christian. He gave us everything that we need in this book. We have to search it out. And now we have so many different resources that we can utilize. You know, you can Google a word and it'll pull up the scriptures relating to that. We don't have any excuses. We really don't. You can speak to Siri and, you know, he or she would tell you where to go. There's so many different resources that we have. There's no excuse for us not to be better at our finances. We just make bad decisions sometimes. But just remember, y'all, and I'm ending, that God is our source. He used jobs, people, everything else as a resource. Let's not get it twisted. God is our source. He is the originator. Glory to God. Hallelujah.